Tonight, you're here to come and see, to taste of me, and to discover my goodness, my riches of grace will cover you in this place. I give you my best, my presence. Expect of me to do what I say I will do, for my word will not return to me void, says the Lord, but it will accomplish what I set it to do. It will work here, it will work there, it will work in you. So let my word work. Open your hearts wide and receive and believe. And my seed, which is incorruptible, will begin to work and take effect. Hallelujah. And sometimes when God wants to do something, He'll come in and He'll change the atmosphere. So how many really want to experience God's presence tonight? Amen. You don't have to wait. You can do it right now, right here. Amen. All you have to do is believe and trust God. And, sometimes when God wants to take you into the unknown, you just got to take His hand and go, right? Like when you were a little child and you needed to cross a busy street, you took the hand of an adult, right? And they guided you through. They made sure that you arrived to the other side safely. And, tonight, I just want you to hook up with God, all right? We are still experiencing God's presence. And tonight, we're going to go to the place where He permeates the atmosphere, where His power permeates the atmosphere. Amen? Did you know that there was such a place in the Bible where God's power permeated the atmosphere? I want you to turn to the book of Acts. And I want you to go to Acts chapter 10. And we are going to go to Caesarea and to a person's house by the name of Cornelius. All right? Because something happened at Cornelius' house that set the tone for the rest of the world. Cornelius was a Gentile. He was actually a Roman soldier, a centurion. And he was the first Gentile to receive salvation and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And in Acts chapter 10, we'll start with verse 1. Well, let me say this first. That word permeate, you know, I that got me really excited because I like to use synonyms. Amen? Not cinnamon, but synonyms, right? And that word permeate means to infuse. It means to flood. It means to fill or to saturate or to soak. You know, how many has ever marinated some meat, right? You put some spices and some flavor in that meat, and you rubbed it in real good, and you let that sit over a period of time, and then what happened? That meat took on that flavor, and it added to the taste of that meat. And see, when God permeates an atmosphere, He adds flavor, and we start to smell like God and taste like God, and it, oh my goodness. That word means to infiltrate. Did you know that there's places where God's presence wants to infiltrate? He doesn't go, even though He is everywhere, He doesn't manifest everywhere. We need His presence to invade. We need His presence to enter. And you are the doorway by which God enters. You know, when God wants to do something in this world, He will partner with someone on this earth. When God wants to bless you, He will give you a divine connection with another person, because God uses people. Say, God uses me. Amen. So in Acts chapter 10, verse 1, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. It's funny, but his name means the horn. And he's part of the Italian band. I just thought that was funny. Now, there are some characteristics about Cornelius. He was a devout man. He was one that feared God. Boy, if we need the fear of God, amen? It means a reverence and a respect of God. And he feared God with his house. In other words, he led his house to implement and institute God's principles. And he gave a little alms. Oh, your Bible doesn't say a little? Now, what is almsgiving? That's giving to the poor. Okay? He gave much. So he was a big giver. Say, a big giver. All right? He wasn't a little giver. He wasn't a stingy giver. He gave much. And he prayed to God always. Right? So if you were to look at Cornelius, you'd say, you know what? He's doing pretty good. He's devout. He's a giver. He's praying. But there was something missing in his life that he didn't know was missing. But God knew it. And God wanted to get the missing link to Cornelius, and God had to invade the atmosphere of his house so that God could get what Cornelius needed to put him over the top. All right? Now, we know of some other devout people in the Bible. You can look at Luke 2. Verses 25 through 26, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. To be devout means to be a person who goes after God. It means to put God first in all things. To be devout means to be a close follower. Not just a hearer, but a doer of what Jesus says. That's what it means to be devout. All right? When you're devout, God will bring you out. Amen? How many know Job was a devout man? He feared God. He was a key man in his day, in his area. Okay? You know, God uses people who follow Him. And in order to follow God, you got to make yourself available. You guys are followers of God because you came out here tonight on a Wednesday night. You could have been somewhere else, but you came here, and God says, I've got something for you. So he feared God, and all of his household. Go with me to Daniel chapter 6. We're going to come back to Acts 10 and go to Daniel chapter 6. And I want you to see what the fear of God does. Daniel chapter 6 and verse 25. Here's some things that the fear of God does. All right? Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, and says, peace be multiplied unto you. Did you know that when you fear God, your peace is multiplied? Then he said, I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before God, before the God of Daniel. This was after Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, and he slept like a baby in the midst of hungry lions because he trusted God. Why did he get thrown into the lion's den? Because he prayed. Don't ever think, if the world tells you to compromise what you believe, don't ever compromise it. If the world says you can't pray, pray. Oh, but I might be thrown into jail. Well, that jail might need a revival. Amen. God's got to get a person in there to have a revival, right? Just look at Paul. When the world says you can't do something, that's when you need to do it the loudest and the most and the boldest. Oh, you can't say the name of Jesus. Watch me. Jesus. Then he says, for he is the living God. And steadfast forever. So we should fear God because he's alive. Say, God's the living God. He's not a dead God. He's alive. He's steadfast forever. And then he goes on to say, his kingdom and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed. He's going to have it. He's going to rule and reign forever. And his dominion shall endure to the end. Those are just some reasons why you should fear God, right? Because God is going to be the one, when everything else fails, God will not fail. When everything else fades away, God will not fade away. All right? So, another thing that Cornelius did was he was a giver. And his gifts came up to God as a memorial. If you don't think that God considers your giving, let me tell you something. How'd you like to be in the service where Jesus is watching the offering and he sees you and Jesus is watching? Would that make you nervous? See, our giving to God demonstrates that we trust him. And if you're unfaithful in unrighteous mammon, which is money, then God is not going to share with you the true riches of God. Amen? And so Cornelius, his giving and his prayers, all right, they came up to God as a memorial, all right? And he prayed always, okay? Let me give you some just quick tips on prayer. All right, you can just write these down. You don't have to turn there. Psalm 25:5. Prayer is waiting on God to be led into truth and to be taught. All right? Prayer is communication with God. All right? Psalm 55, verse 17. Praying is crying to God so that he can hear your voice. Everybody say, I have a voice. There's no such thing in Christianity as silent prayer. Pastor got up and said, let's have a moment of silent prayer. The devil said, amen. You have to use your voice when you pray. All right? Why? Because you've got the power. You don't have anything to be ashamed of. Psalm 119, verse 2. Prayer is seeking God with your whole heart. Prayer is not something you do. Prayer is relationship. Prayer is fellowship. Prayer is intimacy. Prayer is dialogue. It's not just one person talking, but there's interaction. There's an exchange there. Okay? Daniel 6:10, prayer is giving thanks to God daily. How often should you pray daily? Sometimes, several times a day. You can pray as often as you need to. You can pray without ceasing. What does that mean, that 24 hours a day you're praying? No, it's just throughout your day, when it comes to mind, just have a conversation with God. Say, Lord, I need your help. Lord, I need your strength. Lord, you're awesome. What did I just do? I just prayed. It's that simple. God makes communication simple. Man makes it complex. Matthew 7, seeking and knocking. Ask, seek, knock. Those are all actions. Right? 2, prayer is being earnest and vigilant in thanks with thanksgiving. Man, you ought to be an intense thanksgiver. When you pray, give thanks. What are you thanking God? You're thanking Him that He has the answers you need before you pray. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Some of you might have been praying last night. Some of us might have stayed up till 2:30 in the morning. I'm not pointing any fingers. We need to pray for our leaders, our new president, right? The most evangelical vote. Thank God. Church woke up a little bit. All right? Go back to Acts 10. And look at verse 4. Cornelius was praying. He was missing something, but he didn't know that he was missing. He was doing everything that he knew to do, but there was something missing. You know? He was just like, oh, man, there's something missing. And so he's praying, and an angel appears to him. And now, I've never had an angel appear to me. I believe in angels. I've never seen one. But praise God, they're there. They're like scotch tape. You can't see them, but you know they're there, right? And he's praying, and an angel of God came to him saying, Cornelius, aren't you glad that God knows your name? God knew exactly who Cornelius was. He knows you. He knows how many hairs are on your head. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, your prayers and your alms are come up from a memorial before God. Did you know that your prayers ascend to heaven? God hears your prayers. He hears what you're praying. He sees what you're giving. It touches God's heart when you do what He says do. So, what was God about to do? He was about to connect Cornelius with a person who could help him, provide him with the missing piece. He gives him an instruction. Anytime God wants to bless you, He will give you an instruction. Send men to Joppa, verse 5. And go inquire of the house of Simon the Tanner, and Peter's staying there. It's by the sea. God couldn't get more specific about where he was and what he needed to do. Okay? And then verse 7. And when the angel which spoke to Cornelius was departed, Cornelius fell asleep and took a nap and forgot about what the angel said. Is that what happened? What happened? He began to enact the instruction. How many know you got to be quick to obey? Did you know that Cornelius did not reason that out? He did not think, you mean I got to go to Joppa? You mean I got to send men there? Why can't you just do it here, God? Listen, God has a way. Follow his way. So as soon as the angel's done speaking, Cornelius gets two of his servants, his household servants, and a devout soldier. And he sends them to Joppa. And he tells them who they need to find and why they need to find them. Okay? Did you know that God has made you for good works? Say, God created me for good works. See, I'm supposed to abound in every good work. Well, what's a good work? Anything that God puts his name on. Anything that God wants to do, that's a good work. Amen? Having a healthy family is a good work. Taking care of your church is a good work. Serving in your church is a good work. Witnessing is a good work. Okay? Say, I'm a witness. As a witness, you are responsible to tell others what you saw, what you heard, and what you know. That's it. You're only supposed to share what you've seen, what you've heard, and what you know, and even maybe what's been done to you by God. God makes it really easy. How many has God done something for? Amen? How many has heard some things about God? How many have seen some things about God? All right, then it is our responsibility now to share that with others. Why? God called every one of us into his kingdom to be kingdom builders. Every one of us have a part on the wall to build. We have a part to do. We have an assignment, and everybody has their sphere of influence. That is your assignment. Whether it's relatives, neighbors, friends, co-workers, and even strangers. Because did you know that when you take care of a stranger, unaware sometimes that's Jesus? What do you mean? When I was in prison, you never visited me. Lord, what do you mean we never visited you? If you've done this to the least of these, you've done it unto who? Me. That's what Jesus said. All right? So, there are certain offerings throughout the Bible, mainly in Leviticus and Numbers, that became a sweet aroma to God. Oh, that smells good. Right? Go with me to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Then we're going to come back to Acts 8. Philippians chapter 4. And let's look at verses 18 and 19. Philippians 4, verses 18 and 19. But I have all and what? Abound. Say, God is interested in me abounding. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. Now, you don't know it, but maybe you don't know it, but we have a ministry here at this church called VCF Cares. And VCF Cares, they connect people who are connected to this church but who are not close here in proximity or can't come. And what they do is they send gift boxes to people. And I've heard testimony after testimony after testimony of people who receive these boxes. And it's like, man, that's exactly what I needed. That's exactly what I wanted. And it's like a sweet aroma. Notice this. The things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice, acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Sometimes God asks you to make a sacrifice of your time, of your energy, of your resources, of your ability. You hear a whisper at 12 o'clock, get up and pray. I don't want to pray. Get up and pray. But I don't want to. Get up and pray. Okay. You may not feel it. What are you doing? You're giving a sacrifice to God, right? Say, God, could you ask me earlier? No, just do it now. Amen? When should you obey God? When he speaks. When he says. All right? Okay, let's go back to Acts. So, let's go down to verse 25. So, I'm not going to go into Peter's vision because I just don't have time. But at the same time that Peter was praying and Cornelius was praying, God was speaking to them both simultaneously. Because God was about to make a divine appointment. See, tonight you thought you just wandered into church. No, it was a divine appointment. God set you up with a divine appointment where he wants to meet you and he wants to invade your atmosphere. He wants to fill your atmosphere. He wants to permeate your atmosphere right here tonight. That's why he brought you here. He brought you here to get so full of him that when you leave this place, people look at you funny. I'll never forget one time in my younger days before I was married. I was still living in Illinois. I'd spent some time in prayer and praise. I was just praying, and then I was just hanging out with some friends. And we were sitting at a picnic table. And this lady, she just kept looking at me. I'm like, what you looking at me for? She's looking at me. I said, what? She says, you're glowing. I was like, cool. Why? I was just in God's presence. You know, you can get a suntan in his presence, an S-O-N tan. Right? You don't need sunscreen. Amen? Because when you get into his presence, his glory gets on you. Remember when Moses spent 40 days on the mountain? He came down. What did the people say? Moses, cover your face. Why? His face was literally glowing, shining. Why? Because he was in the God's presence. You got to stay in God's presence long enough for it to get on you. So, God was talking to Peter. Peter gets a knock at the door. The Holy Spirit says, there's three men who's coming to look for you, Peter. Go with them. Ask no questions. Okay? Following God takes faith. Everybody say it takes faith. Right? God doesn't give you every little detail because the details he leaves out requires your faith to step out and to do. And see, faith requires you to trust God. Okay? The instruction for Cornelius, go send men to Joppa and get Peter. The instruction for Peter is, go with these three guys, don't ask any questions. Peter doesn't even know what he's getting into. He doesn't even know where he's going. So he goes with these three guys. Okay? They get to Cornelius' house. Verse 25, Acts 10. As Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. Now, you know Peter's a man of God because he does not receive worship. Okay? See, I don't worship men. Speaking of mankind, right? Who should you worship? God. You know, when I preach a sermon and people say, oh, Pastor, that was a great sermon, I got to be careful. I say, well, thank God, praise God. Well, I'm a glory deflector, right? I don't take the glory. I deflect it to him, okay? So, verse 26, Peter took him up saying, stand up, I myself also am a man, okay? And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. Everybody say many that were come together. See, Cornelius had a great deal of influence in his household. He did what he knew to do, but something was missing, right? He needed an extra oomph. He needed the power of God, which he didn't have, but he was doing everything that he knew to do. And even what he did had some influence. Because he invited his friends and his relatives and his co-workers. After all, as a centurion, he at least had 100 soldiers under him. But he invited them to his house. Not only, see, God didn't tell him to do that. God said, go to send men to Joppa. But when Cornelius did that, he also invited people to his house. Why? Because he was a witness. See, when God wants to do something in you, he likes to spread it around to others too. Because there is something about a corporate anointing. When people come together of like precious faith, one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight, three can put 100,000 to flight, and four, my math isn't that great. But the point is, the more people of like precious faith you have in the same location, in the same place, faith begins to multiply like popcorn. Pop, 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 pop. So Cornelius invited people. He called, verse 24 and 25, he called together his relatives and his close friends. Why? Because he wanted to share an encounter with God with them. Isaiah 2:3. It says, many people shall come and say, come and let us go to the mountain of the Lord. You've got to tell some people, come, let's go to the mountain of Palmyra. Amen? That's your job. That's my job. We got to go and say, come to the mountain of Palmyra. To the house of God of Jacob, he will teach us his ways. Oh, you need to come to Wednesday Night Refreshing because God will teach us his ways. You want to know God's way? Come on. All right? And we shall walk in his paths. Zechariah 3:10. On that day, says the Lord Almighty, each of you will invite your neighbor into your home to share your peace and prosperity. Say, God's goodness, God's glory is not just for me, but it's for everybody. And yeah, we need to invite people. Amen? Did you know that God had confidence in Abraham that he would instruct his children in the way that they should go? That was one of the things that stood out of why God chose Abraham, because he would instruct his family. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're serving. If you slept over Joshua's house, what do you think you'd be doing? If you slept over Joshua's house on Sunday, what do you think you'd be, I mean on Saturday, what do you think you'd be doing on Sunday? Yeah, you'd be at church with Joshua's family. Why? Because if you're in his house, you get to go to church. Right? It's not an option. It's a priority. Say, church is not an option. It's a priority. In other words, our life needs to center around what God is doing. That needs to be the center because that's where the life is. All right? The wheel within the wheel. Okay? So, go down to verse 30. Look at how diligent Cornelius was. Cornelius said, 4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour. That means he didn't eat. And at the ninth hour, I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. All right? And he said, your prayer is heard, your alms are had in the remembrance of the sight of God. And then he said, I love verse 33, immediately I sent for you. Everybody say immediately. When God says stand, you stand. When God says run, you run. Don't think about it. Just do it. Unplug your brain for a moment of obedience. Okay? Verse 34. So Peter opened his mouth Peter had a big mouth. And he opened his mouth. What do you think God does when you open your mouth? He fills it. Go ahead, God. Fill my mouth. All you got to, but see, notice God didn't open his mouth. Peter opened his mouth. There was a, you know, Jesus already told Peter way before. He said, if you appear before a judge, don't worry about what you're going to say. I'll give you the words. All Peter needed to do was obey the voice of God, which what he was doing. God didn't say, bring your briefcase full of sermons. He just said, go. See? And when he got there, he didn't even know what he was going to do yet. He didn't know what he was going to say. But God did. And as Peter opened his mouth, he began to preach. And he talked about Jesus. He said, verse 35, in every nation, he that fears him and works righteousness is accepted with God. God accepts those who fear him and work righteousness. What does it mean to work righteousness? It means to be a person of honor, honesty, integrity, to be upright, to let your word be your bond. Right? That's what it means to work righteousness. It has nothing to do with doing works to be righteous. It has everything to do with, because you're righteous, you represent God. God is creating an atmosphere that he's about to invade in. He's about to permeate. He's about to saturate. He's about to fill. He's about to enter. But he needed the cooperation of people. God desires to work with people. Why? Who did he give dominion to on this earth? In the very beginning, he gave it to us. And even though sin happened, has God changed his mind? No. He still wants, say, God wants to work with me. Say, God is my partner. You and God are in a partnership. Amen? And it takes faith to partner with God. Because he'll send you where you don't know where you're going. And he talks about the word. Look at verse 38. He talks about healing, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. All right? So we know God is not partial, right? He doesn't have favorites, except everybody who believes in him is his favorite. All right? If you believe God, say, I'm God's favorite. All right? So God accepts those who work righteousness. The anointing of Jesus comes from the Holy Spirit, and it is your power. How many believe that you're anointed? Psalm 45, verse 7 says, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness. Anointing makes you glad. Not sad, not mad, not bad. It makes you glad. God, according to Isaiah 61, God's anointing, it preaches, it heals, it proclaims, it opens prisons, it comforts, it consoles. Isaiah 61, it makes beautiful. Look at your neighbor and say, you're a beauty. Why? God makes you. The anointing makes you beautiful. It turns mourning into joy. It relieves heaviness. So if you came in here tonight heavy, oh, you're about to leave a whole lot lighter than what you came in. Amen? It enhances righteousness. The anointing, the power of God. It glorifies the Lord. Things that God anoints gives him glory, gives him praise. It rebuilds ruins and it raises desolations. All from Isaiah 61. Whoo! Hebrews 1:9, the anointing makes you glad. Right? And not only was he anointed with the Holy Spirit, but he also had power. Christ has the power to pardon. He has the power to heal. He has the power to give life. He has the power to resurrect. He has the power to direct. He has the power to guide. He has the power to do heart surgery without anesthesia. He can work inside and you not even know what he's doing. He doesn't even have to put you under. Well, sometimes when people get knocked out by the power of God, I call that spiritual anesthesiology, right? Where God puts your body on hold so he can work on you. Amen? So you don't interfere. And then, verse 44, we're almost done. While Peter yet spoke these words, he didn't have an altar call. He's still preaching. He's in the middle of a sermon. It's just starting to get good. And all of a sudden, something fills the atmosphere. Something permeates the place where everybody is. It's the Holy Ghost. It's heaven invading earth. Heaven just begins to come down and pour out. Everyone who was in Cornelius' house, the Holy Ghost fell on them, which what? Which heard the word. The Holy Ghost always operates in an atmosphere of faith. Where faith is, God can move. Where doubt is, his work is minimized. Remember, Jesus was at a place where people doubted because they only saw him as a carpenter. They didn't see him as Messiah. They didn't see him as the Son of God. And he could do no mighty work there except lay his hands on a few sick folk and get healed. So this is an atmosphere of faith. You came in here tonight. You heard the word of God. Faith, from the moment you sat down, faith was charging your heart. Faith coming. You know? I think of when the guy made Frankenstein and the electric. You know? God's just charging your faith account. Faith is permeating you. Why? Because only with faith can you hook up with God and experience what he wants you to have. Amen? The Holy Ghost fell on all them. How many? All. We have no idea how many were there. Don't know if Cornelius had a big house or not. We know that he had servants. We know that he had soldiers. We know that he had family. And they of the circumcision which believed, the Jews, which believed, were astonished. That's my best astonished phrase. Because on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should be baptized, should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him tarry certain days. Why? So that they could learn how to operate this new gift. See, not only did God invade the atmosphere, he gave Peter a couple days to teach them and to train them. Peter had a breakfast prayer meeting the next day. He had a luncheon prayer meeting. He had an evening teaching. He was there for a couple days. Amen? But see, God needed some obedient people that could do what God said do so that God could permeate the atmosphere. If Cornelius hadn't went sent men to Joppa, if Peter hadn't come from Joppa, then God would have been limited as to what he wanted to do. But they followed the instruction. And therefore the atmosphere, something happened that had never happened to Gentiles. They got the same gift. Why? Because we are joint heirs with Jesus. Amen? What the Jews got, the Gentiles get. When you believe in Jesus Christ, there's no Jew, there's no Gentile, there's no Greek, there's no male, there's no female. There's just believing faith. How many believers do we have here tonight? God wants to permeate this atmosphere. I want you to stand up. I want you to stand up. Can we have the musicians come up and sing that song about Holy Spirit? You are welcome here. And I believe that he's going to permeate. Oh, he's going to invade. He's going to fill. He's going to saturate. Amen? He's going to lift the burdens that you came in here with. He's going to set you free. He's going to fill you with joy. He's going to make you feel good. He's going to elevate you. He's going to lift you up. Why? Because that's just what he likes to do. He loves to bless people. He's just looking for some people who are open and who will allow God to do what he needs to do. Amen? He needs people who will say, God, I am yielded to you. Whatever you say, I'm going to do. Whatever you instruct me, I'm going to carry it through. He just needs people who are available. And God is going to fill you tonight. Hallelujah. God is going to touch you tonight. You believe that? Say, God is going to touch me tonight. Say, God is going to fill me tonight. See, you obeyed the instruction. You came here. And then the rest is up to God. They didn't strive. They were just there sitting, listening to a man preach. And the Holy Ghost just went, whoop. He just came on them.